Thank you for listening to this week's episode of A Crack in the Plan. My name is Jordan, your host and Dungeon Master for this original Dungeons & Dragons adventure. This week's episode is brought to you by The Shadow Agency, Book 8 of the Gifted World book series, by our own L.D. Valencia, who you know in-game as Dindal Valian. In The Shadow Agency, Gabriel and his team must find and stop a dark new group before they can enact their evil plans. The Shadow Agency will release on April 8th on Amazon and on Danny's TikTok shop, which I'll link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, thanks for reading, and now, let's get on with the show. This week's episode is called Galen's Choice. So, you find yourselves... You have several hours to have an answer for the captain about why this thing appeared on his ship. What would you like to do?
We would like to talk.
Okay.
I would like to read.
I'm going to quietly go back to the room real quick. Very quietly, so I'm going to maybe get my spellbook and come back out.
Okay.
Are we just out in the hall? Are we going to go back to their room?
I think we just, we need to be able to see in here.
Room. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then... I'm gonna quietly.
So even if it's our doors are open.
Yeah. I'm gonna quietly message Brelin. Say, I don't know where you are, but come down to the rooms quickly, please.
In those 2 hours, he never came back? Or we never saw him?
You never saw him. He was up in the.
Oh, dang.
He was up in the crow's nest. He comes down, and he joined you, Bracken.
So I had a thought on how on another person who might be able to help her. And I hate it. But I feel like we're running out of options. Quickly.
Well, I mean, like, they would take her off the ship right now?
I don't know. Brelin, can you contact Kelrin at all?
Yeah, I can.
Well, don't do it right now. No. Again, let's talk this through. Okay.
It's an option. Maybe.
Okay. Or the option is we talk to the captain, who is from the Feywild and knows weird crap.
I want to have a backup option just in case. If he decides that this is too she is too dangerous to have on his ship, which he would have every right to think so, I want somewhere safe for her to go.
I understand that. But everything we've seen from this captain would lead us to believe that he's not going to throw her overboard.
I know. I want him to know that we've thought of other options. That we're thinking of other things that we can do.
I mean, is there anything else? I mean, I think we have to tell the captain. We can't lie to him.
No.
It is putting people in danger.
We shouldn't.
It could be that we start taking watches over her.
That would be the smart thing to do, yeah.
You know, we knew she could conjure stuff. She makes
fruit.
Peaches and bananas and... Did you tell us about the cow?
Yeah, Galen would have told us.
And, I mean, she did make the cow. What about even talking to... I feel like that we should talk to Viconi.
Yeah. That's... Yeah. Bracken kind of looks, like, spacey right now. Bracken's pretty spacey.
Yeah, I'm...
go see who we can talk to now. And then
let's go talk to the captain. I'm sorry, but we need to.
Can we have a backup option first? He gave us 8 hours.
No.
Not to keep her here, but just so...
We're not gonna... You really want to reach out to Calrin and let him even know about this?
I
You don't trust him.
I don't like the man. And I don't trust him personally.
I think a better option is Marion. And we've already reached out to her.
At least let me try again. Once more, please. We have 8 hours. Let me see if she'll... With what's happened. If she's willing to move up her time frame, please. Give me an hour. He gave us 8. Give me 1.
Fine, but it doesn't change that we go to the captain.
I know we have to go to the captain. Just let me see what I can do with this.
There's nothing you can do with
this. I know. I'm not saying we don't tell the captain. I'm just saying, let me see if I can get her off the ship quickly. Safely. Just give me an hour, please.
Yeah, the person who's going to do that is the captain.
Just give me an hour, please.
Fine, do it.
I'm going to step away.
Okay.
And I'm going to try and message Marion. Something happened with the child. We need her off now. For our safety and hers. Please, can you help us? We're desperate. I'm desperate.
Can we hear what you said?
I mean, I walk off a little, you can probably hear, yeah.
Is it sending, though, right? We can't hear sending.
Oh, then never mind.
Bracken, you hear back in your head a pretty quick response. I'm sorry. I can't. We're dealing with our own issues here. If I could spare 2 stones, I would. I'm sorry. So. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I kind of stand there for a few minutes. I've kind of turned away from them too.
Okay.
And I just kind of drag my hands down my face. And after probably 10 minutes or so, I'll turn around.
Alright.
And I don't look at anybody, but I just kind of nod. Let's go tell the captain.
Alright. So, you all walk to the captain's quarters. His door is shut.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you knock.
I do.
Okay. The door opens and Kai Fox is standing inside. He says, come. And the captain is at his desk. He's got these thin wireframe glasses down on his nose. He's you see him on the desk. He has several journals out, or several notebooks out. He's writing and various things. This is the first time any of you have been in his quarters. Dino, you notice quite the book collection. You can't make out any kind of titles or anything, but he probably has 200 books. There is a globe set in a big brass housing. It looks like the globe spins. A very prominent kind of forward facing is the Tricontinental Kingdom. But when you enter, he says, it was quicker than I expected you.
So I have a couple questions.
Okay.
It was Kai Fox that said he recognized it, right?
No, it was the captain.
It was the captain?
Yeah.
Okay. So you said you recognized this, or had heard of it.
Yes.
But no one else has. How rare is something like this?
To cross to our world? Pretty rare.
So, Nevi told us that she dreamed about this. We are unsure if that means she saw it coming, because she also described what Dindal saw in the creature's mind. So we don't know if she saw it or if she summoned it. We know that she's been capable of summoning things or creating things. I don't know if Vakoni told you about the cow that she created.
I heard about the cow.
And
the fruit.
Yes.
And the bubbles and the changing colors. I assumed Nevi was behind it, but I'm glad that you've chosen to tell me the truth.
We were always going to tell you the truth. We just tried to figure out if there was some other options for her.
Sure.
Or other answers for it. Just.
We hoped that that wasn't the answer.
Yeah. The things that we saw were, or that I saw in its mind, were a little disturbing. So the thought of a young child being able to do something like that seems a little far-fetched, but
yeah,
in our experience, it's possible, you know?
And that's why I asked, because how would she know of something like this, to dream of it, to summon it?
Is it possible that these creatures have access to mental persuasion of any kind? Do they have any kind of mental link that they could tap into her mind?
Not that I'm aware of, but the fact that Nevi was able to summon the creature here, I put the onus more on her than the creature itself. Hmm. Now, in saying that, I don't fault Nevi. She's a child. She can't control the powers that she has. You all have seen now what she is capable of. So when Bracken found the child, I put her in their charge. So here's my offer. The child can stay aboard the ship. And after we have deposited you in Akranis, the child can go back to the Feywild with me. She will stay safe. She will learn from the members of the Fey Courts how to control her magic, how to wield her magic. She will grow up in an undying land.
And you're familiar with this magic?
Wild magic, yes.
Okay.
Is that a fey magic in origin? Or is it
not in more origin, primal? Not in origin, but it is more common in the Feywild. So, I'm not unfamiliar with it.
Would we need to get anything from... you said that there was an ambassador from the courts here? Would we need to get anything official in writing?
No. No, my status is official enough. It's kind of all the permission I need.
Is this more of a asylum thing? Or is this more of a... she's a guest?
No, it's... I'm genuinely looking out for the child. Okay. She can be safe. She can learn how to control her powers.
Okay. I just wasn't sure what the legal ramifications are, if there's anything we need to, you know, cross any T's, dot any I's, things like that.
No, my rank is enough. It grants me privileges enough to kind of do as I wish.
I mean, that was our biggest thing, is we want the child to be safe and we want her to learn and we want her to use this magic appropriately. With that being said, we still have a while on the ship.
Yeah.
So, we need to stay safe for the rest of this trip.
Yeah. I agree.
What happened?
No, that's a good question. That's a good point that Bracken brought up.
Us. Who's watching? Never leave Levy alone. Also us. Leave Levy alone to go talk to the captain.
Who's watching?
Galen. Yeah. Galen.
Okay, Galen's up with her? Okay, good.
No, Brelin. We summoned Brelin down.
Brelin came down. I didn't know if he went with us or not.
No, he stayed. Okay. I thought we summoned him down to stay. Sorry.
Okay.
As long as somebody's watching
the... I thought it was funny because we didn't mention it.
Little demon baby.
Does Galen want to... Because Brelin would have stayed. So does Galen want to... Would Brelin be up with, or would Galen? Be
Galen,
up with us, I guess, is better question.
Galen is more nervous about something happening to her.
Okay.
So he's gonna go protective, and he's going to stay with her. You guys are all up, awake, and moving around. He's not worried about you. He's worried about her, who's sleeping in a cabin.
Cool.
Okay. Anyway, back to the captain. So we need to be safe for the rest of this journey.
Mm-hmm.
We are not familiar with this magic.
Right.
We've said we could take watches. We've, so we could warn if something like this happened again. But we are unsure what the best path forward will be.
Mm. Let me... And he thinks for a second. And you see him, he sits on a stool. And so he turns, and you see him, he hops down. And it's kind of funny to see someone, like, it's still weird getting used to this, like, humanoid rabbit person. But he goes over to one of the shelves and he pulls a tome out. And he combs through it and he says, Dino.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns to you and he holds out this it's a spell book.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, this is called an anti-magic circle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you could cast it?
Could I cast it?
What level is it?
I don't actually know off the top of my head.
I want to say it's like a fifth. I feel like I remember.
Yeah.
If it's fifth, I don't think I have that level yet. It's eighth.
Eighth level. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Nope, I can't do that.
We were thinking maybe like Calm Emotions or...
What kind is that?
It's an 8th level spell.
I don't know if it would count Brelin's 8th level.
No, an 8th level spell.
Oh,
so like
15th level character.
One below 9th level. Hello, the top magic in the game.
Hello, JK.
He says,
that's a little beyond my...
Anti-magic field or anti-magic circle? Anti-magic field is a...
8th level.
8th level. I don't see an anti-magic circle. So I don't know if there's a different spell that...
I made it up.
Okay. Well, if you made it up, then you can...
You
could lower it, like, if you wanted to.
No, I'm going to stick with... we'll see.
Yeah, stick
with it. Hold on, let me read something. Let me read anti-magic field. Because
it's a long one.
Okay. So on the fly, I'm going to stick with what I initially said, anti-magic circle. So it is a third level spell, like magic circle.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm gonna rule is, so where anti-magic field has a bunch of these things, anti-magic circle is specifically it's a magical suppression circle. Now, Dindal, you, as you read the spell, you remember your conversation with Charles Victor.
Mm-hmm.
When he says that he is put into a suspension circle. So the idea comes to you that Victor might be able to do something.
I look over at Bracken and then Cathra, the other passenger. He said he regularly goes into a suspended animation, so this might be something that he would be able to have some expertise in, and if we trust him. And I kind of like look at you guys like, you know, if you trust him, he might be able to do this on the nightly for us, or maybe figure out something more permanent, more lasting. I don't know.
I don't have a problem.
A talk couldn't hurt, I suppose.
The captain says, I will speak to his assistant, and I will come to you in the morning.
Do we know if he's back in?
He is in suspension right now, but he can be pulled from it for something like this.
Okay.
So let me speak with Benvolio, and I will speak with you in the morning. So he, at this point, will dismiss you back to your cabins.
Before I leave, I go to the door and I turn around, and I look at the captain. With your pardon, I guess, would it be possible to speak with the, I believe you said her name was Cupie, the ambassador to the courts in the Fae?
You can. She's currently in command on deck right now.
Okay. Who would I speak to if I would like to meet with her? I'd like to do this in a very official way, and I know she's probably very busy.
You just have to ask her directly.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll turn around and head out.
Okay. Do you go directly to her? Or
no, I'm going to talk to Galen first.
Okay. So, Bracken and Cathra, what are the two of you doing?
I just go straight back to the room.
Okay.
And I'm going to sit on my bed. But, like, is there, like, a head, like, a footboard or something? I'm going to sit up against it and just watch Needy all night. I'm not going to go to sleep.
Okay. So you will take exhaustion when you wake up? Or in the morning? Cathra, what about you? Lyra will just go back to bed.
Okay. I will go back down to our room as well.
Okay.
And before I go back to sleep, it's like, what, 3 a.m., something crazy like that. I'm going to look over at Bracken.
I'm just staring at Needy sleeping.
We knew something like this was going to happen. We couldn't keep her. She's not a pet.
I didn't think she was.
No, but we knew
I know. Just because I know it's the right choice doesn't mean I have to like it or that makes it easier.
No. But it is what's in her best interest.
I know.
You're not going to sleep, are you?
I shake my head.
Do you at least want to feel a little better?
I suppose a little wouldn't hurt.
Okay. I will.
She heals you one hit point.
Do we still have aid? How long does that last?
8 hours, so yeah, because I'll have it through the night. Or at least most of the night.
If I get stabbed again.
You don't know.
When the sea monster comes back.
Do it.
It was 9 hit points.
Jeez, it's my biggest fear, that freaking serpent.
I'm still waiting for the thing to come back.
I'm so scared.
Wait, we gotta kill that dumb thing. Did they take care of it?
Oh, that thing needs to come. No, it's gonna come back and attack us and kill us.
No one ever asked. Shoot. You would have to ask and find out.
Oh, I run back up.
Oh, the big grass.
Yeah,
hopper?
The grasshopper that was on the deck.
So you go up, and it is not on the deck.
Okay.
You do see Kai Fox. You ask him what happened.
Mm-hmm. Did you take care of that?
The creature is in the brig. Magically bound.
Are you keeping it for a reason?
Until we can return to the Feywild and it can go through our courts, then yes.
Oh, well, okay. Just making sure that it wasn't going to show up in our room again.
No, it shouldn't be. It won't be able to escape that room.
It shouldn't have been able to get here in the first place.
That's true, but it is now trapped in a pocket dimension.
All right. Well, if you hear my thunder again.
We will come running.
Sounds good. Then I will head back downstairs. And after I look at Bracken again. You sure you feel okay? You need any more?
I'll be fine.
Okay. Then I will go to sleep.
Okay.
Galen says, you know, Bracken, I've already had my night's rest.
I won't be able to sleep. I appreciate the offer.
Well, I'm not leaving, so you're...
I know.
You're welcome to stay up with me.
You crawl up in bed with him?
I mean, I'll...
Because you're probably saying that standing at the
door.
No, I didn't leave the... Like, I went in the room to watch Nevi, and I haven't left.
Okay.
I'll go sit on the end of Nevi's bed. Okay. Like, kind of curl up over here on the corner so you can have my bed.
I'll sit on the wall, on the floor, on the wall there between Kathra and Nevi's bed.
Okay.
That's...
Yeah. So, Galen is here.
Yeah.
Yep. Kathra is asleep there. And then Myra asleep there. Okay. Dinal, are you going to do anything? Or are you gonna go back
I to was going to wait for Galen, but Galen's not coming, so I'll just fall asleep in my bed.
Okay. So.
Try to sleep with that trauma in my head.
Yeah. So the next day comes, and we're going to skip ahead a few days.
Do we get long rests?
You
then?
Do get long rests. Unless you stayed up for the night.
But we're skipping days, so we still...
Really matter, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you decide you're staying up every night to watch her.
I would die, depending on how far we go ahead.
No, so literally.
Galen's like, I'm sorry, lady, I'm gonna hang. So, Galen is...
Oh, we can't skip ahead. We need to figure out...
Oh, yeah, okay. So, the morning comes. This is morning 23. Morning 23, and so two things. So the captain said the ship would be slowed several days while Vicony works on repairs. His estimate is about 10 days.
Oof.
So, because
10 extra days or
10 extra days because she has to work and repair the ship while it's moving.
Oh god.
and she's got a limited lumber resource.
Yep.
So she has to be very careful with how much she uses. And
does she ever ask for help?
I mean, there is Nevy.
I was going to say, Nevy can make wood.
Board.
Potentially.
That's not a bad idea. That's honestly, like, that's
I'm
not
just saying.
Somebody ask her out. That's a good idea.
So morning comes, and the captain comes to all of you. He says, Charles will try the spell.
Okay.
So he says he needs another day to recuperate before he is fully recharged. When that time comes, he says, what we're gonna do is we're gonna pull Nevi's bed out, and he's going to make a magic circle on the floor, and while she sleeps, her magical abilities will be nullified. So, at night, when she has no control over them, that gives us a level of control.
Is this something he's going to have to cast every day?
No. He just has to draw the circle once.
And then we're good?
We should be good.
Okay.
So.
That's probably the best thing for... It's a good band-aid, if nothing else.
Yeah. Until we can get her to the Feywild.
Will her abilities be more chaotic in the Feywild?
They will be amplified, yes.
Oof. Do you think that the ship being from the Feywild is interfering or doing a little bit of that too?
No, because the ship is not actually from the Feywild.
Okay.
We bought the ship here. We just go back and forth.
Okay, gotcha. So it's not the ship that helps transfer you guys?
Okay. No, it's more so us knowing where the door is.
Gotcha.
Okay. In a broad sense. So,
DM?
Yes.
Do we know what race Nevy is?
Human.
Oh, okay.
But her eyes did that thing.
Her eyes did a thing. But
did the weird cat thing.
But okay.
She looks human, at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She's not changeling now.
So, is there anything else you want to do that day, or do you guys want to skip forward?
Can I do two things real quick?
Sure.
No.
At some point, I want to just do a quick detect. What's the spell? Dang it. I had it a second ago. I think it's detect evil and good near her.
Okay.
So like in a, like, I don't want her to necessarily see that I'm casting it, but I'm gonna cast it and kind of like walk past her, and then I know if there's an aberration, celestial, elemental, fey, fiend, or undead within 30 feet. Do I get any of that?
Sorry, I'm just reading this spell. No.
Okay.
No.
So she's not any of those things. Then I'm gonna go find Galen. Are you also in the room with her?
Yeah, I am staying with her until this this magic circle.
Okay.
To keep her from, like, during the day when she's awake and can control things, I'll let her have her space, but
okay.
I'm gonna sleep in the or stay in the room with her until.
Okay. I'm just going to find you at some point. So I talked to the captain. He said that there's actually a ambassador from the Fey Courts here. And I was interested in speaking with her, considering your heritage, your ancestry, but your unorthodox upbringing. I was wondering if there was anything if you wanted to come with and ask her about elves, Fae, you know, anything like that. I don't know if there's any burning questions you have. Maybe you could find out a little about, you know, something, you know?
I don't know that there's anything that Galen is curious about along those lines.
Okay.
So I don't think Galen would go. Like, if you want company, I'll go with you, but I don't know of anything that I just need to have answered.
Okay. I was just curious. I wanted to throw that at you before I talked to her. I was curious. Right,
thank you.
Yeah, of course. I know your upbringing was a little unusual, so I wasn't sure if you had questions about what it was like to be an elf or where else come from or I don't know, anything like that. I know.
So you remember that conversation we had with Bracken?
Yeah.
When a boy about that elf again. Loves a girl.
No, not that. That's gross. Ugh. I didn't mean that. I meant like the migration or elven heritage or why you can do the things you can do. Maybe she has some answers about, maybe she can show you some new stuff that you didn't know you could do. I don't know.
I mean, I'll come with you, I guess.
Okay. I'm going to try and talk with her at some point. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Cool.
So before we do any kind of time jump, do you want to go talk to
Kewpie?
Or do you want to let it lie?
We'll let it lie for a little bit.
Okay. So, we're going to do another time jump.
Hello.
Oh, no. And that's why we roll two die. Three.
3 days?
3 days go by. So, day 26. So, in the three inner... In the 3 days that go by. Sorry.
Interim?
There we go. In the interim. The only thing of note that happens outside of the casting the anti-magic circle, the night after the Thrycrane attack, you hear a bunch of sailors get super excited, and you all make your way up to deck, and you see these creatures they float up out of the water, and they're bioluminescent, and you hear one of the sailors call these things Kedrises. And none of you know anything about them, but the sailors tell you that they're seen as good omens. There are three sailors on board that will bond with the creatures. So they basically gain a familiar. So they look like these jellyfish that can survive above water kind of deals. Anyways.
Can I do a runic roll?
Yes.
Nat 20.
Okay. Nat so 20. That counts for two successes.
Two successes? Okay.
Yep.
All right. Do I do three or do you want me to do just the one?
Yeah, roll three times.
This is 17.
It's a success. Nope. No, it's not a success.
Maybe. Well, 17 plus intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
So dirty 20.
Okay.
And then a 17. So that one's not a fail. That
okay.
One, so one success. Okay.
Yeah, so the DC is 18. So anything above 18, you're good.
Yeah.
So you had the dirty, or you had that 20, and then you had a dirty 20. So that's two successes.
Yeah. So I had six before. Now I have 10.
You have 10?
No, I had 6 before, and 30, 20, and the 17 plus 3, so that's 20.
The natural 20. Yeah, 6 plus 3 is 9.
Yeah.
Nine.
Yeah, you had 9 total successes.
You had 6.
Oh, that's right. Added. That's a 9. Not, yeah. I have 9 tallies, but for some reason I said 10, because I don't know why I was thinking 6.
Gotcha.
It's a good thing I'm not a math teacher.
because at 10, something triggers. Okay. So let me know when we hit 10.
Okay.
You disappear.
Hey, you never
you
know.
Explode
at
probably.
This point, I wouldn't be surprised.
That's when you get weeping angeled.
Dindel's still gonna do it. That's just Dindel.
Okay. So day 26 comes. Bracken, you are in the rigging.
Uh-huh.
Or you're in the crow's nest with Egan. you... What's something you would be doing that's distracting to you?
To me?
Yep. That would draw your attention from the surroundings.
That's so
You're in trouble. I'm gonna die. Either whittling at a... Like at the railing, or sharpening a knife. Honestly, probably sharpening.
Okay.
Making sure my daggers are sharp.
Okay. So...
Yeah, I'm sharpening one of mine. Probably just going through and sharpening all the daggers I have on me, which is most of them.
Okay. He will elbow you, and he says, hey.
What?
Look.
Whoa.
And he points up, and you spot on the horizon... about 6 floating islands. And he says, you ever seen anything like that?
Wait, in the sky?
Yep.
I've never seen anything like that, have I?
No.
What is that?
I don't know. And you see him, he pulls out a spyglass, and he looks, and he goes, those things are enormous.
I take it from him and I look through.
He goes, hey, that's mine.
I take it and I look through.
Okay. So at this point, even with as much magnification as this thing has, they're only about that big in the moth. So they're not very big in the thing yet, but as you look, he explains, he's like, we'll be on those things by nightfall. Or we'll be under those things by nightfall because they are directly in our path.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Is the captain on deck?
He is.
I'm going to look over and go, Captain?
Yes?
And I just kind of point.
And you see him, he pulls out a spyglass of his own. And he says, interesting. Okay. He says, all right, everybody, we got floating islands. That's a new one.
Did he say that so like everyone can hear?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Are you on deck?
I'm probably doing what I'm normally doing, just sitting up there reading. Yeah. Not really being any help to anybody but the books.
So when he says that, I want you to roll a history check for me, please. Okay. Keep that in mind. These floating islands kind of become the gossip of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
No one's ever really seen anything. No one's ever seen anything like this. This is totally bizarre world for them.
Would I be able to get out my cartographer tools and start like trying to get an idea of where we are?
Yeah.
Map wise and everything?
Yep.
All right. Yeah, we're on the map.
So the laser pointer is dead.
Oh no.
Yeah. You are somewhere up the west coast.
Okay, so we are on the west coast now?
Yeah.
Of Bears?
You're further out.
Okay.
For sure, but you're somewhere in that realm, not quite to that little island.
Okay.
And so you see the floating islands. As the day goes, different people with their spyglasses look, and as you reach sunset, those things have gotten much bigger. To the point that it's you hear Egan, he's the one that calls out. And he says, Captain, I think we've got giant eagles.
Oh, boy.
Now, he's the only one that sees them. But, potentially, giant eagles flying around these giant floating islands in the sky.
Oh, no.
oh, crap. As you approach, you realize it's gonna be nightfall before you begin to sail underneath them. But as the day's gone on, like, you've been able to see more and more as you've come over the horizon. You see upward 40 or 50 of these islands, and they're all spread out.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So, Dino, you have a suspicion of what this might be, but you're unsure yet. Okay. As night begins to fall and the sky fades from purple to black, you hear an alarm raised. An alarm bell goes off. So everyone's kind of mustered to the deck. I just imagine everyone is turned into mustard and spread over the deck. you hear Egan, Bracken, you've come down at this point. Mm-hmm. But you hear Egan cry out from the crow's nest. He says, "Captain, there's a figure approaching." And so, like, it's dark. You can't see more than about halfway up the rigging, because they don't keep lights up there. There's no need to keep a light up there. But you do hear Egan's voice. And kind of out of nowhere, this winged creature lands on the deck, like mid-deck. You all look, and the creature, like, it lands in, like, a superhero pose, like a three-point landing, and comes up, and it is this 8-foot-tall humanoid, and it's got this big 12-foot wingspan. There's a bow staff strapped across its back. As it lands, Dindal, you hear something in Celestial, mm-hmm. you think? And you see the torch in the left hand ignite. So the torch lights up. Because it's not bright light on deck, it's kind of dim light. And this beautiful and awful, like, face is lit by... lit by the torch. And as the light hits, the whole crew kind of goes silent. And it's this weird moment of calm. And in common, all of you, I assume all of you are on deck at this point.
Mm-hmm.
All of you hear this deep billowing voice. "Do not be afraid. I am called Venerable. I speak for the ones of the Verandum." So, Dindal, this is the history check. This is where your history check comes in. So, when he says, "I speak for the Verandum," so in a book, or in the book that Balthazar gave you, there is mention of a council called the Verandum. The one source outside of that book that you've read it calls the Verandum a myth. It's a council of Sphinx. But in the book that Balthazar gave you, it speaks of them as, like, a thing. And when he says the Verandum, the book mentions that the Verandum make their home in what's called the Shimmering Isles. So they're a migratory set of floating islands. Okay. So he says, "Do not be afraid. I am one called Venerable. I speak for those of the Verandum. I would have a word with the captain of this vessel." So he quits speaking, and at this, like, murmurs kind of break out. Wynn happens to be on deck, and amidst protests of, like, don't, like, Captain, stay away, he kind of parts the crowd around him. And he approaches, and he says, welcome aboard my vessel. How can I help you? And you all see the stranger. He casts something. Dindal, the closest you somewhat recognize this as like a cone of silence or something similar to it. Although you've seen cone of silence cast, and it's not that.
Yeah.
But you pick up it's something similar.
Can I still see them?
Yeah. Well, no, because once the spell takes effect, there's this like translucent silvery. So.
That's cheating.
I know, right? but it makes it look like they're standing behind stained glass, almost. Cheater. And several minutes go by as the two of them speak. While they are speaking, tell me what you're doing.
I'm glued to what's happening in front of me. Like,
okay,
a bomb could drop on me, and I'm locked on that. Like,
I am looking beyond and looking in the distance.
Okay. So, Catherine, as you look, you begin to, your eyes kind of go up, and you at this point you begin to pass underneath the aisles. And as you look up, it looks like the bottoms of all these islands. Each one begins to glow in a different color. Pinks and greens and purples and blues. Think like aquarium mm-hmm. lights almost.
Yeah.
And it almost casts a bright light, but mm-hmm. it's not really a bright light. Like, you can see the ocean, you can see the waves. And they're all decorated in these different hues.
Okay.
So 10 minutes pass, and this whatever spell this was fades. The captain, he turns to all of you, and he says, "Venerable, you have permission to speak." So, Venerable, he stands up taller. He says, "I'm here in search of an elf named Galen. About a year ago, I observed him in a wooded clearing at one of the shrines of the goddess, at one of the shrines to the goddess whom I serve. I flew away from him that day and reported to the Verandum all that I had seen of the one who carved the mark of Our Lady Altana into his arm." As he begins to speak about that, your arm begins to ache. And like that rune you carved in your arm with basically a butter knife.
Yeah.
Begins to glow. On that day, he fulfilled a prophecy. And now the Verandum has asked me to summon him to give a report of all that he observed while in her presence. I give you my word that no harm will befall you, for I and my kind are incapable of deceit.
Insight check.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
he's telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hint, or there is no hint of deceit at all. So, Venerable speaks, and then when he ends, he calls you out. Galen, the captain does. Galen, what say you? You seen this creature before? He doesn't speak in your direction, so he calls you by name and then turns opposite, facing away from you, trying to not you have enough knowledge, enough sense that he's you sense he's trying to, like, suss out, is this thing telling the truth?
Mm-hmm.
So,
does the thing look at me? It is venerable.
It can't see into the whole crowd.
Okay.
Because you're kind of further back. You would be outside of the circle of light, basically.
I will go. I've had questions about that time. Maybe I can get some answers.
And when you speak, he does turn. And it's like, it's quicker than you would expect. Quicker than anyone should be able to move. He, like, turns right on you. And it's, once he hears your voice, he, bing, you know, right on you. So, you've given an honest answer. And after you give an answer, across the ship, you hear several other creatures land, torches light, and you see several others with the same face. And this song breaks out among the six of them that are now landed. The ship lurches a little bit, and then the ship begins to rise out of the ocean. And so for 30 minutes the ship slowly rises, and you pass by the bottoms of these floating islands. There is some forward momentum as you're carried into the island chain. You finally, the ship comes to rest on this floating dock. The one that lands, the one that spoke, he reassures the captain that they will be compensated with gold and with food for their time. And he looks at you, Galen, and he says, would you and any of your companions that would join me, would you follow?
I turn and look at my companions.
Dindel's like shaking his head like fervently. Yeah, yes, please. Yes, please.
Fine, come on.
Yes.
Bracken, Cathra, you at all interested? And you want to hang out here on the ship?
I mean, it's not like much else is going to happen here. And we're already in the sky.
Someone watching Nevi?
Brelin, you're staying. They are now.
He goes, the hell I am. And you see him, he picks up Nevi and he walks off the ship with you.
What? This is evening?
Yeah.
She's asleep.
So, okay. Sorry, let me set this a little better. As you rise, you come up, you come past a certain point, and darkness becomes light. And as, so the islands that you see in front of you, they are, all of the islands are made of crystal. And there seems to be this light that emanates from within. That
If it's Nevi's bedtime, she's going to be sleeping in the anti-magic circle, mm-hmm. then...
When the ship started to rise, she came on deck. Okay. Like, it woke her up. And so it looks daylight.
Yeah.
But it's the light emanating from within the crystals, filling the whole space. So you come where the ship makes dock is on the biggest of these islands that you're able to see. And as you disembark the boat, the humanoid creature, he says, "This is the city of Carusish." I'll tell you how to spell that later. So it is made of crystals. It looks like everything is grown, like the crystals were grown rather than carved. And this creature will lead all of you up this kind of crystal stairway. It's a winding stairway from the dock up to the city gate. The city gate is made of gold, solid gold, rises 80 feet in the air, and your vision on both sides, it extends out to the edges of your vision.
Just for my visual, I don't know if Dindel would know, does this thing look more like an angel or more like a sphinx?
This thing looks like an angel.
Okay.
Yep. Specifically, it looks like a Deva.
Okay.
They'll tell you as much as they walk and talk.
Okay.
They do tell you, venerable is an office, not a name.
Oh.
So like there's a host of them around you, six or seven of them, and they're all called venerable as a title. you approach the city gate, a horn is sounded, and the city gate opens. Inside the city gate is, as far as the eye can see, are towers and buildings made of this crystal, shaped and fashioned in 100 different designs. The largest of which is this, they call it the Citadel. And it sits on a high hill, kind of in the middle of the city. So you are walked through the city. As you walk, you see creatures like Leonin, which are the lion type. You see other devas or other angels. And that's really it. You don't see humans, you don't see elves. Like, you are strangers in a strange land on this one. It takes you about an hour to walk through the city up these hills towards the Citadel. All along these crystalline structures, there are figures carved, and they do follow you as you go by, but it's like the statue turns and then it turns back and it resets.
Is my arm still glowing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have we noticed that?
I don't know. Roll perception.
21.
Yeah, you've noticed it.
12.
No, Kathy, you probably didn't.
17.
Yeah, you noticed it. Navy's like, whoa, this is so cool. This is so big.
I kind of gave him, like, teacher voice. I'm like, don't touch anything.
Our city's allowed to be this big? Where's the people? Because she doesn't see, like, humans. So as you walk, you arrive finally at the Citadel. And, again, big crystalline structure. And you see these two big double doors. They're made of ivory. And the door opens. And all of you are let inside. The structure inside is very much so the building itself is square and it has a dome. So that's as much decoration on the outside as there is. On the inside, it kind of looks very similar. It almost looks empty, with the exception of about 80 feet in. There's a set of like six stairs, and it goes all the way around in a square, and it goes down into a, like a center area. All of the Deva, all of the venerable, except for one, the initial one that you met on the boat, stop. The one that keeps moving summons you, Galen. So the Deva, they turn and they look at Bracken, Catherine, Dindal. They all look at you and they say, "We must wait here while he speaks with the council." Galen, you are led forward. You're led down this set of stairs. So, all of you, from your perspective, what you see is you see Galen walk down the stairs, and 6 seconds later, so the length of a round, you see him walk back to you. That's all you see. Now, Galen, as you walk down the stairs, by the time you hit the bottom stair, it feels like time is slowed to a crawl. By the time you reach the center of this big area, which in and of itself is like 160 feet square.
Yeah.
So you get to the middle of it, and as you stand there, time is super slow. 10 seconds go by, and 10 minutes go by, and then 10 hours go by. 10 days. A year. 10 years. 20, 40, 60, 80, 160, 320 total years go by as you stand in the middle of this square waiting. And in an instant, it's like the transition from sleep, from being completely asleep to completely awake. You notice that in front of you, there are 6 Sphinx. Three of them look like males, male heads with lion bodies, and the other three look like female forms with lion bodies. As time has gone on, as you've stood there and waited 320 years for their company, mm-hmm. Your hair has grown. It's changed. It's like you would change it normally, which feels weird because you didn't do it, but you grow like your muscular, like your muscles grow more defined, more hardened, like you would see Ulf as he ages and gets muscular and his skin weathers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this weird feeling of like all this time has gone by, but yet it doesn't feel like but yet no time has gone by.
Mm-hmm.
Is how you experience it. I will say you do feel wiser. So mechanically, your wisdom increases by 2. Let's see. So, as the 6 figures appear, together and in. So together as one, and yet as 6 unique voices, you kind of unceremoniously are asked a question. Tell us which is greater, might or sacrifice?
the purpose of might is to prepare for sacrifice.
They all kind of, like, murmur. Tell us which is greater, honor or duty.
There is no honor when duty is ignored.
Finally, they ask, tell us, with the power to set the world right, would you willingly set your life aside to save your friends, or would you hoard power and make yourself great?
Greatness does not come from power. Greatness comes from the willingness to do what needs to be done, even when it's not the thing that you want to do.
So after the third question is asked, there is a period of silence, minutes, and then there is a mighty rushing wind. It fills the entire cavern, or in the entire space that you're standing in. One of them looks at the rest and says, surely he has seen her. She has claimed him as her champion, even from her prison beyond the veil. Another one says, if this is the case, the gifts are his along with the vision. So these two things are said, and you can read in all of them, there's like this weird tension. Another one of them says, Galen, we intend to show you something that is both vision and prophecy. And then we will tell you its importance. Will you accept?
I will.
Okay, and I'm going to read this because it's important word for word. So, the one that asked, or the one that says that it's both a vision and prophecy, this one roars. She like gets up in your face and roars, and it's deafening, and it's a blood curdling roar, and you're a little bit afraid. And this vision overtakes you. I'm so excited. Sorry. So you see yourself ascending a hill. Your hair is down, decorated with blue and red threads. You're shirtless and wear the marks of 30 different veins. You wear an eye patch over your left eye and a belt with the likeness of a strange creature that you don't recognize. You do not wear the adornments of a king, but you walk as though you are one. At the hill's crest, a beautiful dark-skinned elf approaches you. In your heart, you know that this is your wife, Zarice. Her heart name means the sound of the wind as it rushes over the ocean. She places a maul in your hand, made of green flecked marble. It's heavy, nearly 30 pounds of stone, on a hickory handle and banded with dragon hide. This maul has been washed in blood and magical resurrection fire. Many names are ascribed to it, but most call it the Arm of Mercy. You look to the right and see the stone seat from which you sit in judgment of your people, gathered in the valley below. To the left side of the seat, your wife has taken her traditional position. And to the right, your sons have taken theirs. The eldest, Shamgar, has taken his Barefane mark, and your twins, Ehud and Othniel, stand impatiently, boys of only 12. Chained and staked to the ground, awaiting your judgment, is your uncle, the aging Kiartan. The reason you started your war and whose rebellion forced you into leadership. The valley your judgment seat overlooks is filled with those who have sworn to follow you. As you take your place, Halleck nears your seat and prostrates himself, laying a scepter at your feet. His voice is loud enough that it echoes in the valley. My heart and the hearts of my people are yours, Galen. I swore this oath to you at the outset of this war that I would pledge so. And so before this great host, I and all of Dragonfane are yours to rule and command. Your deep voice echoes in the valley for all to hear. I'm glad of it, Halleck. Your presence brings me joy. But though we are old friends and allies, I must insist that here in this hallowed place, you call me by my title. I am not Galen Volbrandt. Here I am the Allfather. The valley below erupts in shouts of adulation. You look at your wife and she smiles. You look at your sons and they beam with pride. And as they do, the vision fades. One of the Sphinx says, "This is only one of many possible futures, but this is the vision your mother saw. A possible future she was willing to give you up for so that you could be counted as one of the kings of the earth and as Altana's champion, a better man than her first, who you call Odin." Meeker than you have heard any of them yet speak, one says, "Though this is only a vision and prophecy, if you fulfill Altana's request and follow her, if you will take up the mantle of champion, this will set in motion the possibility of this one day hoped for future. However, this is also a declaration of war. Odin will have no choice in his mind but to come after you. To aid you, we offer you these gifts in hope that you will accept her beckoning." So at your feet, one of the Deva, one of the winged creatures, sets a basket of woven silver. You find a leather belt decorated with the likeness of a creature you've never seen. You saw it in your vision. You find a metal brand. It's Altana's rune, the one you carved into your arm, glowing hot but not burning. And a stone and stonemason's tools, gray marble flecked with green. One of the Sphinx says, "The belt will lend you the attributes of Altana's great and mighty beast, the Kraken. With it, you may be able to win the Kraken's aid once you journey to her lair beneath the ocean. We are forbidden the knowledge of knowing where it makes its home, but there are places in this world that still hold the knowledge of time before Odin's betrayal. Seek them out and you may yet find answers." And another takes up. She says, "When you take the rune, when you brand yourself, you will align yourself with her. She will imbue you with power, so you'll be able to cast Smite. As not a paladin. And you will be able to summon your weapon to you, even if you are separated from it by leagues or oceans deep. And with this stone, you will heal all that Odin has harmed. You will craft a weapon more feared and held in higher regard than mighty Mjolnir, and you will rule in peace where Odin has ruled in fear." One says. Another says, "Odin is only a man. And the gods are not gods, but children of men who only know the lie of Odin to be true and can be turned to your allies if you pursue them. They are not all evil as Odin is." Another one. Our other gifts are smaller, but no less significant. But there is a sacrifice required on your part, that of your left eye. With its loss, you can begin to understand the magic that Odin has corrupted and used to lock away Altana and her brothers. When you learn the runes and break their seals, you can aid in Odin's destruction. Or they can aid you in Odin's destruction. As a parting gift. If you choose it, we will show you your birth parents. You would not be able to communicate, but at least you can see that they are alive. Had we the powers to cross the realms as in the times of the Bifrost, before Odin broke or buried the gates, we could take you to them, but as it is, only Odin and his children can cross the space that exists between them. And finally, if you choose, you may remain the age you are now, an elf man of 337 years of age. To your companions outside the circle, no time has passed, but to you, but to hide you and to hide ourselves from Odin, that he may never find us, we have had to bring you forward in time. To them you will have grown in wisdom and stature. We cannot guarantee how much you will remember and retain should you return to your younger life, or your younger self. Do you have questions? We have given you much to process, and we are not so unwise as to think you wouldn't have any.
Are my parents safe?
They are. Your mother is the head of a household in Jotunheim. Your father is a shipwright, crafting ships for stone giants. They're happy. And they are safe.
I do not wish to see them because the vision would be a distraction. They are safe, and that is sufficient.
That is a wise answer, Galen. Though we would give it to you if you wished it.
What else is required of me?
The question of your eye and of your age. You give up your left eye. That is the key to understanding the magic. And if you choose to remain this age, you've come forward 320 something years in time. But you would return the age you are now. You would return with full knowledge of everything we've spoken to you. Full knowledge of the vision. But understand, the vision is not a guarantee. It is a hoped for future. But if you choose to return to the age you were, we can't guarantee that you would remember everything. You would remember in part, but not in whole. Not in full. So the eye and time.
The time I'll keep to remember the vision. The eye will be sacrificed to follow my goal.
So you will lose your eye and you will stay this age. Galen, today you've made your choice. The hope of humanity, though you are not human. The hope of humanity and the hope of the realms lies with you. Go forward. Take your gifts. Return to your friends. Fulfill your duties. You are blessed among men and blessed among elves. And they will release you. You turn and you can see your friends. And you begin to walk towards them. You do. You stay that 337 years old.
I have the basket.
You have the basket in hand. You wear a simple eye patch over your eye now. Over your left eye. Mechanically, you don't lose. There's no disadvantage to losing the eye. So, you have aged 320 years in the span of, well, for them, 6 seconds. But you walk out. You carry your silver basket. It's about 80 pounds between the hammer and the... Or between the because it's a stone.
Yeah.
I will say this. When you look at the stone, you know exactly what you need to do to
make it into a hammer.
Yeah. And you do gain proficiency with stonemason's tools. I was going to tell you mechanically. So the belt. So it is high quality leather. It's carved or engraved leather. And on it is a creature that the Sphinx called a Kraken. So when you wear it, you gain +3 to any stat of your choice. And you can change that stat once every 30 days.
Does that allow over...
Yes, over 20. Okay. You gain the ability to breathe while you wear it, to breathe underwater, and you have a swim speed of 120 feet. So, you have your basket, you have these gifts, you've lost an eye, your hair is a little bit longer, maybe decorated a little bit differently, and you walk out of the circle and you see your friends. The three of you, or the five of you, six of you, because Navy's there too.
What? So, we saw him go in. Six seconds later, it's a aged, buffer, one-eyed.
Who is this man?
One-eyed Galen walks out.
Like, do we recognize him?
Yeah, you absolutely recognize it, that it's Galen.
Kind of jaw drop.
What the hell? Ooh.
You are gone 6 seconds. What in the world?
How do you suddenly have more wrinkles than her?
I'm not that old!
Comparatively, but
she's not that old.
Well, I guess not anymore!
Your voice is, like, mellowed out.
Where did Galen go?
I'm still here.
You look. What happened to your eye?
Yeah.
You had 2 6 seconds ago.
And now one's gone. What's with the thick? What's the stuff?
Did you just say what's with the thickness?
What's with the stuff?
Hello. Let's be real. Everyone's asking that.
There were gifts given, but sacrifices required.
You had to give up your eyeball? What? Please tell me I'm not the only one of us that's confused out of their mind right now.
Oh no, very confused.
Thank goodness.
Being a student of lore and history, would I make any connection between the eye and get him saying sacrifices? And Odin?
You know that Odin sacrificed his eye for magic. You also know that Odin hung himself from the world tree for magic, but you don't see any signs of Galen being hung. He's not Matt Coffin yet.
in response to Bracken saying about the being confused, I say 300 years provides clarity.
Okay. But 6 seconds! Like, I'm not the only, like, 6 seconds, right? That's all it was for you guys.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In this three... What?
Well...
You remember the captain's warning about the Feywild?
Did you go to the Feywild?
That's not the only place that time can be a little strange.
Where did you go?
Like, 30 feet that way.
At least that hasn't changed, I suppose. That's so glad that kept.
I'm not sure how I feel about this.
I'm concerned. I'm what?
Can you tell us what happened, or is this something that you have to keep to yourself?
I was given a vision. I was given a task. And I was given resources to help fulfill the task.
Is this task going to interfere with ours?
Are they the same?
The task coincides with our current task.
Are you gonna share what the task is, or is this another cryptic secret thing?
The bad friends are also at odds with Altana. And they need to be curtailed in their efforts. And to do that, I need information, which hopefully can be found in the library to which we are headed.
So Altana wants you to go after the bad friends?
Yes. If I saw the vision correctly, Altana wants me to replace the bad friend.
Place? Really?
According to the vision, he was originally her champion, but he's been corrupted.
So that would mean Altana's above him?
So 300 years doesn't necessarily bring complete clarity.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. We're like throwing a million questions at you. Sorry.
Apparently, he managed to block Altana and her companion's influence into this world's realm. And he's put a barrier that needs to be removed.
Okay. Let's add it to the list. Let's go knock down a barrier. Right?
No, we're not there yet.
No? Okay, good. Thank God.
We're still at the information gathering stage.
Okay.
Which is why I need to go to the library now.
Okay.
As much as Amber does. Although for possibly slightly different reasons.
Maybe.
Donald's like doing like double take, like looking at Galen, looking back at Catherine, and then back and forth like, what the heck does that mean?
I think they might be closer than we realize.
What?
Venerable.
Yes.
I think our business is concluded.
You're right, champion.
I appreciate your assistance.
We are but a summons away. And so he will grab you by the back of the neck. And he puts his forehead to yours. And he tells you a name. It is his name. And in your head, you hear him speak. And he says, You hear him speak. And he says, when you call on that name, I will be summoned. I'll tell you the name in a little while.
Yeah.
But so he gives you his name.
I reach into the basket and I pull out the brand.
Yeah.
And I say, let those here be witness. And I'll just smash it on my left pec.
Love that. Okay. So you burn this rune into your upper pectoral muscle.
I'm assuming I take damage from that.
Yeah, you take...
Roll me some fire damage, baby.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot.
Oh, no. No.
How many hit points do you have again?
96.
All right. With the damage.
Oh, no.
Did you just grab a d20?
Nope, d12. Okay, it's not as much as I thought it would be. You take 18 points of fire damage.
Passing notes over here.
And so with that, Venerable and the other Deva will lead you back to your ship.
Do I leave the brand, or does the brand go with
me? No, brand stays with you.
Okay.
So you all walk back to the ship. That'll do it for this week's episode of A Crack in the Plan. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. This has been a Pale Horse Companion production. All episodes are recorded in Columbia, Tennessee. Our producer and editor is Jordan Wilhite. Our assistant editors are Meg Sandella, Danny Valencia, Angie Brady, and Daniel Brady. Artwork for this production has been generously provided by Isaac Kierstead.